Outside of that, it looks like things are moving along okay in and throughout the Monterey Bay area. 7-day forecast, again, it's raining. It's going to be raining here for the next 10 days, give or take, on and off throughout the days. Just to give you a heads up, we're looking at an average high in the 60s, lows into the 40s for you boaters. No major advisory in effect this evening and nothing for me to issue for tomorrow. So with that said, my next show with you guys is Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your red pill dispensers, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you.
Oh, I love that intro.
Yes, definitely.
Love that intro.
It is good. It is good. Yeah, the movie's tomorrow.
The movie comes out tomorrow. The beginning of the. This was a echoing back to the very beginning of the Red Pill movement.
Yes, The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Yes,
which opened some people's eyes, like the theme and the concept saying, hey, are you asking questions or are you just going along believing the narrative that you've been spoon-fed your entire life?
Absolutely. You know, I talked to several people at some Christmas parties this week, and there are actually a lot of people that have not seen that movie and had no concept of what the movie was about.
So wow.
In a nutshell, I guess we could talk about Neo's journey. So Neo's this guy that's living a humdrum life and in a box and on computers every day and stuff like that. And is this all that life has? And all of a sudden he gets this note to follow this trail if he wants to see the truth and have his eyes opened. And so he goes and he follows that. And a guy named Morpheus comes to him and he gives him this choice of two pills, a red pill and a blue pill.
Yep.
And he says, if you take the blue pill, everything will go back to what you're doing. You can believe whatever you want, and nothing will change. But if you take this red pill, you know, your eyes will be opened, and you will see the truth.
Yep. And he's like, what is the truth? He says, the truth is you're a slave to the system.
A slave to the system. And so he takes that red pill, and everything opens up, and he realizes that he is not even living what he thought he was living. He was living a virtual life, basically in a pod. So the machines took over. They used people as batteries to support them, and these people lived in these pods, like incubators in a way, like in a womb, a mechanical womb.
Mechanical womb.
But their senses were being tricked. Their eyes, their ears, their smell, all that
literally
stuff was being
fed information through their brain that isn't actually true.
And so they thought they were living a normal life. And so when they got out of that, he realized he wakes up and he's in this horrible looking world, but it was the truth. And so it goes on from there.
Yeah, we hate to be, you know, spoil it for you, but it's been like 20 years. So if you haven't seen the movie, too late. Sorry. But, you know, that's really at the heart of what we're about here at Wake the Bear Radio is that we're trying to wake up California. Like, and I think that we're trying to wake up California because we ourselves have been woken up. And we've kind of come out of the matrix, and we're like, we're looking back, and we're saying, something doesn't smell right. This doesn't feel right. I don't understand what's happening, and I realize I don't understand that my rights and the plan that was designed by our founding fathers for this nation and for this state as well as part of the union our rights are being subverted. And for me, I don't know, and we'll talk a little bit more about how we each got red-pilled, but for me, I was red-pilled really just in the last 2 years. And I can tell more of my story, but, you know, what really dropped the bomb on me, like, to become very vocal about this and even start this radio show was when they started demanding that you inject an experimental drug into your body or you can't function. And I have enough studies of the Word of God and enough studies in the Bible. I've studied, you know, biblical prophecy for 30 years. And the stuff I'm seeing happen right now on the earth are things that I studied 30 years ago from a book that tells us it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. This was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been woken up. I mean, some of my story was someone said, hey, did you know that, well, you believe, you know, that you know, 9/11 was an inside job. And I went, what? You're high. What are you talking about? 9/11, an inside job. And I just, I looked down upon people that were conspiracy theorists, people that had different ideas about how things are going. And then I actually started looking at the evidence of 9/11 and went, oh my goodness.
Wow.
I have been asleep. And I cheered on our armed forces going into Iraq, believing whatever the heck CNN told me. And I was deceived. And that opened my eyes. And maybe I'm telling my story now. Deception. So anyways, sorry to jump right into my story, but
we'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
It'll be a personable night tonight. And speaking of personable, we do have another co-host, Chris. Chris, are you on? Can you hear us?
I certainly am. And I was really fascinated by the trailer that was shown. There were two trailers. And, you know, the new Matrix is called Resurrections. Mm. I thought that was interesting. But there was a line that was very relevant to what we're doing with California and the waking up, the red pilling of our state, the waking the bear. And it was the old love interest whose name was Trinity. And the line was, Neo, who was looking for her, was told, if you want to see Trinity again, fight for her. Mm. And, you know, that's really the answer to California. If we want to see California shift, we have got to fight for her. I'm really excited about seeing this movie. There's just another Matrix reference was maybe this isn't the story you believed it is. And I know that's true about a lot of things we are hearing. And I've got to be the first to admit, you know, I try to be very discerning, but I know there are stories that we are being fed, narratives we're being given, and lines that are being the painting on the wall is for a purpose for us to believe a certain way. And so part of waking up is choosing, having the human dignity to make an informed decision, not on the storylines you're being fed, but on the truth and on the real information. So we're all going after what is truth.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, it's rare today. I mean, because of all the narratives going off, you really actually just have to do research. And that's the problem.
I think
we become so busy that we don't do research. You know, and it could be in any form that affects your life, whether it be education or policies or political stuff or even your faith. You know, an example, you know, we're celebrating the birth of Christ this week, right?
Yeah, Christmas. This is it, Christmas. And, we're 4 days away, 5 days away?
Yeah. And then when you ask people, hey, what is the true meaning of Christmas? There's a lot of different answers. Like, hey, it's about family or it's Santa Claus. Or
giving some gifts, Rudolph.
You know, and then there are those that would say it's the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know, I did a little deep dive a number of years ago, and I think you might remember a guy named Chuck Missler.
Oh, yeah. I love Chuck Missler.
Yeah, he had a good article. I couldn't find it anymore because it was like 25 years ago. But it was, if you do a search on the birth of Christ, there are a lot of people that researched and come to the conclusion that September 29th, 2 BC, was the date.
Wow.
And it's really interesting because it kind of brought back some old memories. So I was just going to run through that real quick, how they got that. And this is an example of doing the research and not just following the traditions of the establishment.
Are you trying to say that Christ wasn't born on December 25th?
That's right.
You're messing with my chi here, buddy.
I know.
Okay.
And I actually got those reactions a lot.
Really?
Church. Like, what does it? Well, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know.
So what did you find?
Okay. So So basically, what you do is you go to the biggest church history fathers, and that would be Tertullian, Irenaeus, and then this one I haven't heard before, Eusebius. And they all came to the conclusion that it was 2 BC was the year he was born, because basically they referenced it 28 years after the death of Cleopatra, or the 41st year of the reign of Augustus.
Okay.
And those dates were very established.
Okay.
As far as Cleopatra and Augustus. So when you get the year, then you start looking at the scriptures and trying to find clues. And one of them was Zechariah. Zacharias had this vision in the temple,
in the beginning
of the Gospels, And God says, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be preparing the way.
Your wife, Elizabeth, in her old age, will have a child. And he's like, what the heck? No way.
Yeah, she's old. Her womb's dead, you know? Right. So, but what was really interesting is this little fact. It said that he was of the family course of Abia. Hmm. Well, if you look at temple work, they had different families. And each family, group of families, they did it twice a year. Well, Abia, that year in 2 BC, it came to be June, June 13th to 19th. Mm-hmm. He was in the temple.
Right.
So why is that important?
Because
6 months later is when Jesus was born after John the Baptist, Zacharias' son.
Right.
So if you had him in the temple, and it's the 13th to the 19th, well, he had to wait till after the 20th to start traveling back home, and that was a two-day travel.
Wow.
So that puts him about the 22nd, 23rd, or actually 23rd, 24th of June. Mm-hmm. And so probably when he got home, he probably was with his wife, especially after getting this vision from an angel saying, you're going to have a kid, so he's not going to, you know, waste any time. And so most likely if he had conceived, or his wife, Elizabeth, had conceived, that would put her there. And then you just go and you start doing the math. And there's a verse that says 6 months. When Elizabeth was in her 6th month, Mary had conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And so that puts it as...
So you're taking the scripture very literally, because it actually references literal dates in human history that can be tracked and traced and proven.
Exactly.
Right.
And that puts her at conceiving around December 24th. And then if you just go to, you know, the full term of a baby, it would be September 29th, which happens to be on the Feast of the Trumpets, which isn't like God. So the Feast of the Trumpets.
That's significant, though.
Yes.
Feast of Trumpets is a big deal.
Why is that a big deal? Do you know?
Tell me.
There were two trumpets that were to be blown all day. Well, a trumpet's like a declaration, declaration of the coming of the Lord. And so this was the first trumpet.
Right.
And so that says that there's a second trumpet. So we're expecting a second return.
Right. I mean, the scripture basically says that at the last trumpet, a twinkling of an eye will be caught up with the Lord, which is the second coming of Christ, the return of Jesus. And so it references the trumpet. And well, what are they talking about? They're talking about the Feast of Trumpets.
Exactly.
The second trumpet.
So I just thought it was very interesting. So yeah. I just wanted
which to... makes all of us listen a little weird to think that the man who was governing the largest and most powerful nation in the world was last name his for the last 4 years before, you know, it was Trump, which people have played on that word a little bit. So,
well, have you ever, there's a book that was written over 100 years ago talking about the last president, and the name of that president was Barron Trump.
No way.
Yes. It was written like in the 1850s or so.
Wow.
Interesting, but that's another.
So basically what we're saying here is that there's a lot more evidence and there's a lot of tools today. We have the internet. We have the many, many tools that will give you information that you can't just believe everything you read on the internet, as we all know, but you compare and contrast what you're hearing through mainstream media, what you're hearing through mainstream culture, and then compare and contrast that with what other sources say. And I would say another big one that goes along with that would be the fact that we have Solarium and a couple of these other programs that have actually programmed the clockwork of the stars, and you can wind them back and find out at that same time, 2 BC, there was a convergence of the Regulus in the chest plate. Regulus is a star, meaning king, in the chest plate of Leo, which is the kingly tribe of
Leo
Judah,
the
and the kingly constellation. And then there was Jupiter coming at the same time, which is the king planet. And they all coalesced together at that moment, which would have told the Magi, whoa, there's this amazing, amazing convergence happening in the heavens. And I studied this a couple of years ago and shared it with my church. And it was just, it's amazing. You can actually roll back the clock and see that there was this time, about the exact same time that you're saying, Ron. And then, of course, that's when the Magi, who were the magicians of the East studied under Babylon, they saw the star. They went to the annals of the Jews and said, look, he's supposed to be born right about now. It's 78, you know, it's 70 years after the exile. And they traveled 700 miles up the Tigris, the Euphrates, down into Israel. And then they went to Herod, and then they went to, they went before Herod, and they go, hey, where's the king of the Jews supposed to be born? And he's like, king of the Jews, what are you talking about? Yeah, it's written. It's like, this is the end of the 70-year cycle. Don't you pay attention to your own Hebrew scriptures? And then he looks to his scribes and Pharisees, and he goes, hey, tell me what that says. And they go, oh, yeah, he's right. These magi are right. These non-Jewish men from Far East who are practicing all kinds of crazy sorcery came to us and told us that we weren't paying attention to what was about to happen on the earth, which was the birth of the Messiah. So I feel like that's a big red pill for all of those Jewish people who are not paying attention, that the stars are in the heavens, it's the end of the 70-year period, it's time for the Messiah to be born, and boom, there he's born.
They were following the narrative. And you know, the narrative that made December 25th the birth of Christ that we traditionally celebrate was because the church came along. They got really big, and they merged in with the pagan culture.
Right.
So, you know...
Motive, right? It goes back to motive, right?
Oh, yeah. They wanted to win more people
to convert to Christianity, the Catholic Church. So their motive may have been pure. Like, we really just want more people to believe in the Messiah, so we'll choose to take the winter solstice and make it coalesce with our the birth of the Messiah, and we'll celebrate at that time on the clock, right?
Exactly.
Well, it wasn't just the solstice. It was Constantine actually had his personal god was Mithra. And Mithra had some interesting, he was considered the sun god, and it was a very popular god in that part of the world. But his birthday, Mithra's birthday, just happened to be, can you guess? Hmm.
December 25th,
and he was supposedly in their tradition. He was born in a cave. He was supposedly born of a virgin, and it just was an interesting, like you said, convenient story merge, so that there was a unification of the Roman Empire. And in this, there was also the centralization of the religion and believers who were meeting in homes, who were celebrating the feasts, the Hebrew feasts, and they understood how God was telling the story through the feasts, especially Passover, and you talked about the Festival of Trumpets, and there's Pentecost, and all of Yom Kippur. They all had special meaning, but Constantine directed them that they were no longer to follow the feast. They were to follow this new calendar. And so there was a complete disruption of how traditional home believers, those who were meeting in small groups, were actually showing how their faith, living out their faith. So now they had to go to the large basilicas that were built, and they no longer can meet in small groups.
Wow. So basically there was a control factor there, a mainstream control factor there that moved Christians away from the way they were practicing and through practicing on the right dates to follow the mainstream calendar. I mean, Constantine, you know, the story, it's at 325 BC or AD, he, you know, came along and Christianized the culture. But what happened is that the culture became less Christian because it became the official religion of and when you start saying everybody's Christian, then really nobody's really Christian except for the remnant. And so I think that's the same even within America. You know, we have a lot of people that say they know Christ or they say they're Christian or blah blah blah, and it's like, you know what, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you are not able to fully understand God's plan, because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. And if you don't have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, you actually can't have discernment by the power of the Holy Spirit, right, Chris? I mean, that's the one word that you've been getting over and over again, is that all these things going on in the world right now, what we need more than anything is the ability to discern what is really going on. And that is given to you by a relationship with the Creator, with the Maker of heaven and earth, which is Jesus, God incarnate. And I would say, going back, like, there's a passage in John 3:3 that actually says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, verily, verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So I really want to encourage everybody out there, listen, if you say, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in that story, or I kind of like it, or whatever, but you don't have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus, you can't understand the kingdom of God, and therefore you can't understand what's going on in the world, because there are two kingdoms in conflict right now, and it will open your eyes. That's the ultimate red pill.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a spiritual level that this is happening. You can tell. I mean, you look at the groupings of bumper stickers on people's cars, and you can see the politics follows the religion a lot of times. Yeah. That's what I've noticed. You know? And then you go to the Midwest, and it's a whole another set of bumper stickers. But hey, let's go into today's issues. I mean,
today's topic.
The red pill, what's going on in politics and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's effective ways to red pill people, right? That's kind of the topic we're talking about. This is 2 weeks in a row that we talked about the red pill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say coming out of the matrix is really the name of the show tonight. What does it mean to come out of the matrix? So how do you help people come out of the matrix? You know, what is the matrix? I mean, you kind of explained the story in the movie, but what's the matrix today? What is the matrix that we're talking about? And I think one of the things that actually helped me kind of open up my eyes to the matrix was I was given a book by a friend of mine. He said, "Have you ever read The Creature from Jekyll Island?" And I'm like, "No, what the heck is that?" He said, "Read that book, come back and talk to me at the end." And it was the story of how the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the people that were the wealthy bankers and the oil tycoons got together and they planned how they were going to orchestrate where America goes.
Yeah, and the banking system.
The banking system.
Know, yeah, then Wilson got us off the gold standard, I believe it was, and the Buck Act, and mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, if that 1913 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a while back, but yeah, they federalized the country and stuff like that, and it was all for bankers. Yeah, that was a good. I didn't read that book, but Jekyll Island. I read a number of articles on that, and these people had it planned out. You know, yeah. I know for me, about 25 years ago, before the internet was really full of stuff, I had purchased this Organic Sovereign American Freeman Compendium, 2 volumes, about 500 pages, and it goes through the history of the New World Order, basically. You know, mm-hmm. starting with Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati, and how he got there, the Rothschilds, you know, actually it's Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R was his last name. Mm. And, but he lived in the Red Shield. That was kind of like your address on your house. Mm-hmm. And so the Red Shield is Rothschild. And that's where that's where his name came. And he had 5 sons, and those sons, they made money off of every war.
Wow.
They funded both sides of every war.
Do you have another copy of those? Is that available anywhere?
Oh, I'm sure it's not. I mean, it's probably been updated since then. But, you know, it talks about how Nathan Rothschild took over Britain. You know, so they had this battle of Waterloo. And since the Rothschilds were in charge of the mail system, they used to open everyone's mail. They knew what was going on before anyone else did. So what happened was they have this war with France, and everyone's like, did we win? Did we lose? And so the day before everyone was going to know, Nathan knew a full day before.
Wow.
So he goes to his normal place, like a stock exchange, and he begins to sell British bonds. And so they're thinking, we must have lost the war. So everybody dumps it, pennies on the dollar. And later that day, he bought everybody's. And so he had the majority of the bank just in one day, just because they thought, oh, he must know something we don't. You know. So that's a lot of power. But anyway, that was a number of stories like that, and it just goes all the way there.
I mean, so you know, I think with researching the 13 bloodlines and their power and influence over the media, over the elites,
Yeah. So when you say bloodline, what do you mean by that?
Well, there's like 13 bloodlines that are like the Rothschilds are one of them, and the other one is the Rockefellers. These ultra wealthy businessmen, bankers, oil tycoons, that the old comedian used to say, it's a big club and you ain't in it.
And you ain't in it.
George Carlin used to say that. Yeah, it's a and he was basically talking about that. There's this massive elites that I was a Republican. Well, I'm conservative, of course, so I'm a Republican. I'm like, what we're finding out is that the bankers financed all the wars on both sides.
Only one party, isn't there?
It's one party, yeah. And then they keep us divided against each other, thinking that it's like a big show, and really they're controlling the strings.
Yeah, it's an art of distraction, you know, right wing, left wing, but it's on the same bird, you know, and they are used to distract. You're busy.
Well, we see that going on all over the place. One of my friends, I was talking to him this week about, he said, you know, that we use this right wing, left wing, or right left this political spectrum, and it comes, that political spectrum that we currently still use in schools today is the one based on the French Revolution, where the bourgeoisie and the elites would, you know, the poor working class rose up in the Bastille Day and it took over, and there was the French Revolution, and they were taking out the aristocrats because the aristocrats had become so wealthy, and the people rose up against them and then took them down. And the aristocrats were considered the conservatives. They were considered the people that wanted things to stay the way they were, the wealthy, fat aristocrats. And the left was the right. And the left was the people that wanted to change things because the way it was messed up. So that's our same political spectrum we have today. Well, that's what people are being taught in our institutions today. This is actually all part of the red pilling. And this is why Antifa doesn't make any stinking sense whatsoever. Because our institutions are teaching our young people that socialism and fascism are opposite ends of the spectrum, right and left. But they're not. Socialism and fascism are authoritarianism, and they're on the far one side of the spectrum, and they're cousins, together. They're brothers.
Yeah.
The opposite of socialism and communism and fascism is like independent, like so people that are... What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know on that one.
Well, my brain's doing a little brain thing. People that are independent, focused,
freedom,
individual freedoms. Okay, so
self-governing,
individual freedoms is that's where America's based on. We the people, everybody has equal value. These other ones are a bunch of elites control everything, and they control the working class. I mean, the Nazis was a Nazi socialist party. They were socialists,
right.
And there was a particular form of socialism, which is different than communism, but not much different. Those guys were cousins, and the other side of the spectrum is basically far anarchism, or somewhere in the middle, is more like what do you call it? I can't think of the name. The word's not coming. Self-governing, basically.
Self-governing. So as far as red pilling, the first step we said was start to do your own research and really dig deep, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. The other one is it's a mindset, you know? And some people will say, oh, this person believes every conspiracy. Well, no, they're open to listening, open to looking. That doesn't mean you accept it. Doesn't mean that you believe in Bigfoot or tinfoil hats or flat earth or all those other things, but you could look into them. Why do you have to have your mind so made up before you even heard one bit of evidence? You know, you need to hear both sides to every story, you know, two sides to every coin. And so I would say, I would encourage people, if you want to consider being red pill, if you haven't, and you feel like this is just completely off, you know, we're off our rockers, what we're saying tonight, I would say first do the investigation. Mm-hmm. Definitely do that. And then, yeah, start looking at research opposition and start to weigh it and see if, hey, does this make sense? Because even your gut, you know, I mean, everyone admits it's crazy right now, right? They're saying, hey, I've never seen this happen in my lifetime. We've never seen the things, you know, the most popular president in world history of the United States has the lowest approval ratings in less than a year, the lowest of all. I mean, does that really make sense? You know, were that many people really gung-ho? I never saw any rallies and stuff. So there's a check in your spirit. Does this really make sense? Does my gut say that this is
something
not what I'm being
smells
told?
Off.
Yeah.
Did Joe Biden really get more votes than Barack Obama?
Yeah. No, he did not. He did not. I had a conversation this week. I was out there washing clothes for the homeless at behind the courthouse, and I sat and talked to the person, and he's just saying, hey, there's an issue. We'd be best friends if it weren't for your Trumpism. You're just so, and I don't even talk about that when I'm out there serving people, but mm-hmm. he knows. And so he said, do you realize that there's actually people that think that the election was stolen? He says, can you believe it? And then they did an insurrection January 6th.
Just
believing
whatever the mainstream media tells them to believe.
Exactly.
Hey, we got to take a break
here,
buddy.
Let's
come back to that again because that's a really good point.
Okay, yeah.
So we got to take a break. We're going to play our advertisement here on H2O, His to Offer. Amazing, amazing group.
There's no ocean in Malawi, and we just found this beautiful lake that goes to three different countries, Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania. This is a big body of water, and so you get 2-3 foot wind waves, and pretty much daily you have waves you can ride. being a Santa Cruz local, being a surfer from the west side, we just saw this lake and we thought we could use it to bring a different thing into this area that's never been done before. And the locals saw us, and we saw the interest of the locals going, what are these people doing out in the water where there's crocodiles or hippos? So we just wanted to bring the love of surfing to this area, and we did it, and it really just took off. We got surf contests going once a year, but 365 days a year, we have programs in this area. We have a school that has over 1,000 kids. We're doing ag projects, we're doing solar projects, we're doing water projects. We're doing all these different things in the community, but done locally. We kickstart them in their business and off they go. So it's a self-sustaining method of doing this. The surf contest is just a big party to celebrate what we've done all year.
If you would like more information on how you can participate or support this effort, please visit our website at his2offer.com. That's his, the number two, offer.com.
Okay, back here with Wake the Bear Radio. You were making a really great point there. You want to keep going with that? Or you want to go with the next one?
Oh, let's just go to the next one because I've already forgot after the advertisement.
I was looking for the word libertarian, by the way. Libertarian, yes. The opposite side of the spectrum.
We got that.
Yeah, and I want to share with how I was red-pilled, too.
Go for it, Chris.
Brandon, yeah. I mean, I was red-pilled about 5.5 years ago, and it was through a conversation, or rather a series of conversations with several different people that I highly respected and honored, and they were speaking with confidence about the Washington swamp. And this this was something that I had no idea what they were talking about. I was totally like a deer in the headlight. And so I began to do my own research. I didn't tell them I didn't know what they were talking about, but I thought, these are really smart people. I have a lot of respect for them. And so I looked into the various things, and I was horrified as I did the research, and I just began to pray into the things and to ask God to begin to give clear discernment what was really going on, what was his strategy over this, because I knew, you know, we are not victims and we are not helpless. We're in a spiritual battle. I also listened to read a blogger by the name of Praying Medic, and he was doing some healing and deliverance work, and I was part of a ministry that was doing that also, and he started doing some cute decodes, and I thought, what is he doing, and what are these about? But I had so much respect for him, and he was such an amazing writer, and he really was able to communicate well, that I stopped and I listened, and I thought, surely he's just not on some tangent. I have no idea who this Q is and what are these decodes. And so I spent some time just listening. And again, I took it to the Lord. I was praying about it. I said, I do not want to be, you know, walking down the wrong road here. Give me discernment. And so I just have quietly, like Mary in the story of the Christmas story, I've pondered a lot of things in my heart, and I continue to ponder them. And so my understanding right now is that we are in a spiritual battle first, and what we're seeing manifest is part of that spiritual battle. And we are on the winning side, but it requires something of us. It requires us to fight for it, to stand up, and to actually have a voice, to use the authority that God gave us, to come together in unity, in love, in strength, and to oppose evil head on. And it's really not a right and left, like you said. It's and even the light dark gets a little bit, you know, that can get a little New Agey sounding. Or a little spiritism sounding. But, I mean, when we talk about light, we're talking about God says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And his enemy is Satan, and he is opposed to everything that is good. And so as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, I have personal responsibility. This is my opinion. So this is my journey. I'm not putting it on anybody else. But my personal responsibility is to oppose evil, destroy the works of the devil, yep. bring light into the darkness, heal the sick, cast out demons, oppose evil structures. I mean, the very nature of evil is it waits for opportunity. So if we do nothing, evil will move forward. Mm-hmm. It works in mm-hmm. death structures. It works in destruction. It works in terror and hatred and violence and perversion and manipulation and pain and in fear. And that's how we identify it. So if we see that, we need to head that off straight on, like David throwing the rock that hit Goliath right between the eyes.
Amen.
That's
I
really,
love that.
Really
That's
good, Chris.
Yeah, you know, Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Mm. You know, I mean, there's definitely a command right out of the scriptures, and that sounds like exactly what you're doing, Chris. Hey, we actually want to take callers. I know it's a little late. It's 8:40. So KSCO 1080, and the phone number is 479-1080. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, would you like to comment? Or have a question, call, and we'd love to hear from you. Before we go into that, I was going to say the other verse that stuck out to me, because you asked me about this, you know, you expose the deeds of darkness, have nothing to do with them. But another one is that, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be salt and light. Jesus tells us to be salt and light. Salt, the job of salt is to preserve. So, but when they didn't have refrigeration, they used salt to preserve flesh for it not to decay. So they would put packet in salt. Well, and then the other one, of course, obviously, is light and dark. We're supposed to be a light in the darkness. If Christians don't vote or Christians aren't involved in the political process, we've handed over government to the enemy. By doing nothing, we've handed it over. And you were pointing out a statistic. It was something like there's 60 million evangelical believers, and only 25% of them are vote. If evangelical people that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean both charismatic and all the different rights, if people that believe, if they would just vote, we would win all the elections. The conservative God perspective on things would win the elections.
Yeah, I'm not even saying how to vote, but if you vote according to Scripture, I'm sure it'll be in a good direction,
right.
You know, at the very least.
Vote according to Scripture.
Do you have anything else?
I was going to say the other thing is, we're talking about how to wake up the red pill. So we got a caller in a second. I want to say this. This is one of the things. You mentioned Chuck Missler, and I love this. He said this in one of his trainings. He said, you know, in Proverbs 18:13, it literally says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. And the whole concept of being a conspiracy theorist is to get you to stop asking crazy questions. Stop thinking deeply. Stop questioning the narrative. Just believe what you're told. And that is folly, because you're never going to learn anything. And there's another quote. He quotes Edmund Spencer, and he says, there's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is a proof against all arguments, which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance, which is bondage, right? That principle is this: condemnation before investigation. Mm-hmm. And that's what the term conspiracy theorist was designed to do, is to make you feel condemned before you actually investigated the other side of the argument.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we have a caller. I'm going to try. The board's a little different tonight since we have Chris on full time. So Ray from Watsonville, can you hear us? You're on the air, Ray.
Welcome, Ray.
You there, Ray?
Welcome, Ray, to Wake the Bear. We'd love to hear what you have to say, but it looks like we're having technical difficulties. Stay on the line.
Yeah,
stay on the line for a second.
Let me press this. Maybe this will be it. Can you hear me, Ray? Oh, our sound engineer's here. Let's see what's different about that. Oh, programming. Okay. Looks like Ray is off.
Did Ray drop off?
Hey, Ray, if you want to call us back,
Ray. We'd love to hear what your comment or question is.
Oh,
looks like he's calling back.
You know, one of the things you said, Brendan, about the condemnation, let me just...
Go ahead, Chris.
What the elite calls us is they call us the deplorables. And, I mean, that is just a name that is like we're to be shamed.
Into silence.
For having an... Yes, into the deplorables. And so that whole condemnation before investigation, that's a powerful word.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thanks, Chris. That's a way to connect the dots there.
Okay, we do have a caller. Let's see if we can hear. Can you hear us? caller?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can.
Yes.
Welcome.
All right, we got it now. I called back. A couple of things I want to just kind of touch on is, you know, Donald Trump is fighting this fight all alone.
It seems like
he came in 2015 when he came down those escalators and made it clear what he was going to do. He has done everything he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
To this moment as we speak, he has had the most richest, powerfulest, successfulest people on this planet attack him, to destroy him, to destroy his business, to destroy his reputation. He took absolutely no income whatsoever along with every member of his family in the entire 4 years of him being a president.
Yep.
To do what? To drain the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To rid out the corruption that he has been watching and has a very, very far deeper insight to the level of corruption than you and I. And why do I say that? Because he does business with the top business people all over the planet, and he's done it for years. Donald Trump is very well connected, whether people realize it or not. He didn't get where he's at because he wasn't connected, and didn't get where he's at because he didn't have money. He worked very, very hard to get where he's at, and has lost it a couple of times and built it back. But that's irrelevant. Mm. My big thing is here you have every single top politician, most powerful people, no matter how you look at it, from top down, the most powerful people on this planet to destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
They have failed.
That's good.
Sure, he's not president. He didn't so-called win the election.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to touch on that.
He didn't win the counting.
All due in time.
He didn't win the counting, Ray.
That's all. Yeah, he got the votes.
But, you know, they did do the recount. They just counted the same errors twice.
Right.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
They recounted every single ballot. It's all there.
Well, that's what they want to report, but the audit.
Did you see, Ray, real quick, did you see the video of the woman on the streets and on the 17th of December, just a couple days ago? She went into the greeting center of the White House, and they looked at the wall of presidents, and there's still no picture of Joe Biden on the wall, and it still says Trump, and it says 2017-line ongoing.
I believe that. Totally believe that. Because I strongly,
trippy.
I'll tell you, not to get off the subject, but I'll tell you, I have a $100 bet that Donald Trump was going to be back in the White House by January 1 of this year, coming year.
That's good. I like that. I like to see that bet happen.
That may not happen, but let me tell you one other thing.
I'd like to see that win that bet.
That I've seen coming. I swear to anybody on this planet that I thought that was going to be the day when Joe Biden did his inauguration speech. I think it was January 26th. Is that right?
January 20th.
I thought for certain the military was going to take it over right there.
I totally did, too. The 2.5 minutes of silence that was awkward silence, and nobody knew what was going to happen next, I was thinking they're just about to arrest him.
Yeah. I thought they were going to do this 2 months before that inauguration, because the reason why is because I have been following, like, it's amazing what the lady that was speaking earlier that just started looking into this swamp business and was just absolutely blown away. It's a very, very unfortunate that let me change the subject.
Yeah, I gotta
Ray, we got another caller.
One last thing here real quick.
Go for it.
If anybody on this planet thinks that there was no voter fraud, they're absolutely out of their mind. Here's the voter fraud.
It'll come out.
The number one biggest voter fraud that has been corrupt, that's been taking place in the 2020 election of all. And it's right before our eyes.
Oh, we knew that was going to happen.
The manipulation of the media.
Yep.
The suppressing the information, and changing and pushing the narrative to destroy Donald Trump.
And Facebook yes. censoring, that just came out 2 weeks ago. Facebook's been censoring everything.
$400 million Zuckerberg donated under them.
Yep, that's
I gotta let you go, Ray.
Okay, Ray,
sorry,
great stuff. Call back again. We want to talk to you more, Ray.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Call back again. Yeah, sure. Call right back.
Sure.
Who
yeah,
got on?
Okay, we.
Chris.
It speaks to the idea that you have to. You can't tell people. We shouldn't be telling people what to think. We have to show them, and
yes.
we want to share.
That's right.
You know, share ideas, and that's what our radio show is about. Is to share ideas and wake the bear, and let's get some discussion going.
Yeah, and you know, if the military were to come in, I mean, a true military exercise, they're not going to do it when the people aren't behind it, because then you're going to have chaos, civil war, and all that stuff. You need to let people see this past year.
That's what I think we're watching.
Where people
the movie.
Were saying, "Please step in, step in," and then at that point,
even
that
the people that voted, "Hey, we blew it. We voted for that guy. Yeah. Step in, please."
Hey, we got a caller, James. James, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hello. Can I be heard clear enough?
Hi, yes. James. Welcome.
Excellent. You know, lots of diversity with today's conversations, tonight's conversations. I like what Chris said, particularly about what can we do as individuals? What can we do as individual lesser magistrates? Wasn't Jesus a lesser magistrate? So it's amazing that a book was written that describes these times. Now, why would a book be written 2,000 years ago that describes these times? How long have these times been of people been aware of these cyclic actions? Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Yes.
Good word.
It is good.
Good word, James. Yeah, I mean, it's true. The battle, the war that we're seeing being played out in front of us is primarily a spiritual battle that's manifesting itself physically.
Absolutely. You know, no, I think that's probably all the callers for now.
Okay,
I
was going to say something after what Ray had said. You know, if you look at the inauguration speech of Donald Trump, the inauguration speech, which was some people consider the darkest inauguration speech ever.
Are you sure it was Donald Trump, or are you talking about Joe Biden?
No, I'm talking about Donald Trump.
He basically
said, these suckers behind me have been robbing you blind for years, and it's all going to stop with me.
Mm.
And it was like, what is he talking? Like, there was like this eerie, dark, like we're going to kick butt and take names. If you go back and listen to it, it's amazing. So, and you compare it to the UN speech where he talked about, we're the only country that still uses our original constitution. You've all changed yours. We're using the original founding constitution. And it's one of the things that makes us great. And he goes through the whole thing. And I want your country to be great too. I want your country to be great, but our country is great. And then he went through all the reasons why, made a bunch of people mad. And then his speech to the UN, to the World Economic Forum, he spoke to the World Economic Forum. And he's like, you guys all want to use climate change and climate control to control the whole world as a big boogeyman, and I'm not for it. And they never asked him back to the World Economic Forum. These are some of the reasons why I believe that in his heart he's a good guy, and he does put America first, and he's not as bad as everybody thinks he is. And those are my opinions.
I agree 100%. I mean, I just saw last week he was speaking at a church, and he was saying, hey, you're all looking for a savior. I'm not that guy. It's someone much, much higher, and he names them.
He points up to God.
Yes, he points up to God, and he just says, I'm just doing my little part, you know, but it's God. God's the one that's going to save this country.
That's right.
You know, and it's like, when do you ever hear a president do that? You know, so many people were stuck on tweets that he did, you know, oh, that's a mean tweet, or he said this in his youth. Okay, he might have been a wild guy, obviously. I'm not saying might. There's probably no doubt. He was in those spheres. You know, people try to align him with Jeffrey Epstein. They lived very close in the same neighborhood. You're going to go to the same parties. He never went to his house.
Right.
You know, things like that. And there's actually, speaking of that whole Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, that case is winding down already.
No one's talking about it.
Less press coverage than Rittenhouse, yet this is a mobile, worldwide
cover-up.
Child trafficking situation with elites. They know, you know, people like the royal family and things. And yet, it's just like crickets, you know? So it's very interesting. But what they said this week, I think it was yesterday or today, that if she is found guilty, then it will open the door for further investigations of who she was with, because she'll start to do a plea deal, saying, hey, reduce my sentence if I tell you the names of the people that were, you know, taking advantage of these young girls.
Well, and that information needed to be brought into discovery and put into the written record of legal, the written legal record, so that it can keep moving forward. And, but of course, everybody in the media, the six mega corporations that control all the media, are like, hush, hush, don't let this information out. It's going to get out. It's on its way. It's coming.
Yeah, she's just playing her cards. You know, don't play your cards too early. She's like, okay, you know, you're either going to convict me or not. And if you don't, awesome. But if you do, I'll work to get that reduced. And so I think that's the game plan that she's doing.
What do you, Chris, you got something?
And I think that one of the things that Ray was trying to say was, the first statement he said was that Trump was in this alone. And we know that part of the wake up is that what we're watching, we get to comment and start conversations about. It's not something to lose hope about when we see the media doing what the media does. We shouldn't be shocked. We get to begin to point out to people that we notice are getting restless and are asking good questions. And those are our targets to go to say, what do you think is happening here? What do you really think is going on? Because what we're seeing is the opportunity for America to wake up. So Durham's, he's doing his thing. There are different trials taking place, different situations that will be coming forward in the news. And we can't put our hope and our and get disappointed when our dates aren't right and we think it's going to work this way and somebody has a new idea of when Trump is coming back. We need to just take advantage of every day, every news cycle, and find the people who are ready to shift. They are ready to ask good questions, and they're ready to make a move for change. And then we start local, and we do the things that we can to get the people that are doing the evil things out and bring in people who are going to shift things back into life-giving situations.
Yeah, you're thinking globally, but you're acting locally. Then that's what all of us need to be doing. There's a lot we can be doing locally. You're going to be with your loved ones coming up this Christmas, you know, as long as they don't tell you to not show up because you're not vaccinated or you have to mask to be in your house with your family. Yeah. Hope that doesn't happen to anybody. I know people that it is. But you have an opportunity to say, listen, have you looked at the open verse and the 20,000 people that have died from, you know, the vaccine adverse reactions? Yeah. Have you actually looked at the data? Or are you just going along and believing what everybody's telling you? This is a time for you to say to your loved ones, hey, I love you. I'm asking you to ask questions because I love you and I want you to think deeply. I want you to use discernment and I want you to be able to pay attention to what's actually going on around you rather than just watching football, eating a bunch of food and believing whatever you're hearing on the vision of the world order, you know,
yeah,
which is basically what's going on. Is there's a bringing about of the new world order, and it isn't good.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I listened to Joe Rogan's interview with Dr. Peter McAuliffe.
Oh my gosh.
That was amazing. It was 3 hours. And I mean, it was captivating the very first minute. You want an unbiased, well, authoritative stance on vaccines and what's going on. He knows every study. That guy was amazing.
Well, Dr. Peter McCullough is literally the most qualified person in the world to talk about this. He has more peer-reviewed articles on epidemiology, and he's a cardiologist, than anybody else on the planet.
Yes. Look it up. It'll be in our show notes, but look it up. It was Joe Rogan's interview. It just happened this past week. It would that'd be a present to your family.
Yeah, the other thing would be buy the book called The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Amazing book. I just got it. I'm reading it. I'm watching video clips by
in
this
his
guy
hand right
He's
now.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's in my hand right now. You can't see it because it's on the radio. Okay, we're getting to the end of our show. We only got a few minutes left, or actually got less than a minute left. So hey, we wanted to encourage you. The next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about a couple different things. We want to close with a word of prayer, but we're going to be talking about next week, we're going to talk about January 6th. There's people in that have been in prison for a year with no trial, which is a violation of their rights. We're going to talk after that. That's what we'll talk January 4th next week. And then January 11th, we'll talk about human child trafficking, which is really what's behind all of this. Absolutely. And we're going to be dedicating the month of January to really exposing human child trafficking. So we bless you. God bless you. Fill you with Holy Spirit. And may you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior.
And have